Okay, my friends, welcome back. So the presuppositions for reading James McElhorn, Rooting Out Hidden Faults, How the Particular Examine Conquers Them. As I understand it, it was a standard text for seminary. So for the young men learning to be one, to engage in holiness for themselves, and two, to offer counsel and forgiveness through the sacraments and direction for others. So it was a primary text, or in some houses of formation, a primary text. It's from
When was it written?
I think it was written in the 50s. Okay. Sophia Press, 52. It was from 52. So there is that presupposition. Now, he does a nice little job of defining the principal vices. So he does give you some understanding of pride, for example, but then he's going to talk about pride in a way that you may not have encountered. So when I say pride of authority, pride of temerity, timidity, let's see, there is another... pride of timidity, yes. Let's see if there's pride of sensitiveness.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
And that is a different type of pride, that you're always very sensitive. It has to be your way or the highway. So pride of complacency or vanity. A self-love demanding self-esteem or the esteem of others. So he does a nice little job of explaining it. So you don't have to have too much background in that. Yeah. It helps to know that there's such a thing as sin, and it will help to know that there were some capital sins. But then you're pretty...
It's a pretty easily engageable book.
Yes, it sure is. And then it shows you the... then he'll present, most importantly, the remedy to this. Right. And then he goes into some of the virtues. But obviously...
Yes.
It's engaging.
Right, yes. Right. It's easy. I mean, you can do it. And really, you know, when we're discussing this, obviously... There's going to be, first of all, I mean, anytime that you're engaging with the realm of sinfulness, you should beg your guardian angel to be part of this conversation, right? I often think of my guardian angel in two very distinct ways to try and recollect to myself the obligations that our Lord has put him under, right? And the first is that he is my best friend and guide. That there is no way that I will ever be led astray if I put myself under his tutelage and his care and follow him. And, he's going to be a very useful gift to me to advance in the holy life and in a spiritual life. But he is also going to be my biggest accuser, because he will have to stand before the Lord. He will know all of my faults, and out of a perfect love of the justice of God, he will be the one who will make sure that the things that I stand condemned of will be brought before the judgment seat. So he will both be my advocate and my accuser. And I don't mean an accuser in the sense of a satanic accuser, right? I mean, hopefully it will be me who accuses myself, but he will bear witness to the things that I've done wrong, right? Somebody, and no one will be able to present my faults in a way, in a more gentle way to the Lord than our guardian angel, right? And so generally, when you tend to engage in these dialogues of how do I come to know my sins, right? Your guardian angel must be an intimate part of that prayer, bringing him into that book, asking him for his guidance. And what's going to end up happening, and I'm sure that it would have happened with you a little bit, when you're reading through that book, you're going to hover over like 30 pages, right? There's going to be something in that book that specifically you feel is intentionally about you. I remember, I love this old line where, somebody went to her confessor and was complaining about the fact, know, that she's always confessing the same sins. And Father said, well, do you want new ones? Right? I mean, no, you don't want new ones. And yes, you are confessing the same sins. Why? Because you do have a certain matter that you have been created with that our Lord wants to perfect in you, right? So the closer that you get to the spiritual life, the more, the fewer, like the sins that you confess are, you're going to go from like a cataclysm of sins, like whoosh, like this whole whirlwind of like, I did everything from A to Z. And all of a sudden, you know, like, let us hope, right? At least that you're going to begin to start localizing on the M's and the N's, right? Like slowly you're going to be able to start to take that whole alphabet soup of sinfulness and narrow it down to one or two letters. And that should be where you're focusing. And if God willing, you master that sin, you conquer it, well, then you move on to the second rank of your sinfulness. And what you're going to find is you're going to go to confession for that same thing over and over and over again. Because the only way that we as human beings can be healed is through constant medicine for the same fault. Right? Our Lord, grace upon grace upon grace, you know, that cup overflowing that he just wants to pour down out of his abundant goodness on us. You know, and that's, you know, you're going to probably, and please God, you may actually find when you're reading that book that certain types of those sins you have almost no engagement with. And that's where you can just be very thankful. Thank you, Lord. That's where you say, there but for the grace of God go I. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't put that stumbling block in front of me. But maybe that book, though, maybe it may not be your particular sin, but maybe that book will open your eyes up, like you said, in the spiritual direction, right? That this is a way that these priests were going to be taught how to engage with people who suffer from these faults, right? So even if it's not your own personal sin, that ability to study with that book may give you insight and grace to assist somebody else with their own stumbling blocks.
That's right. That's right. So,
because I know that Karen has become much, much more patient with me after reading this book.
Oh, my friend, my friend.
Sorry, I just had to put that out there.
So there are some basic time-tested ways to overcome faults in general. And so we're talking about our predominant fault to ourselves. So the first one is to practice the opposed virtue. So that does take a little bit of study, because because you need to know what the other virtues are. So if you know what is, so you take pride, you need to know that humility is the contra to that. And this book does it. It helps you find the contrast to that. Certainly the catechism does as well. A second method of growing in virtue and rooting out hidden faults is just to play to your strength. So Sarah said, you know, and that's true. When I was reading that and I looked at the list for other sin types, and I was very grateful because there wasn't a pull to me. So I'm very thankful for that. So to the contrary to that is, that'd be where my strongest virtues are. And playing to one's strongest virtue, the virtue of predilection, is the idea that we know that once we do one virtue really well, we know the rest of them over time are going to come along as well, because they travel as a pack. So whatever, you know, perhaps you're generous or merciful, whatever it is, eventually justice is going to come too. And of course, temperance will come, all seven of them. Okay, so that's one. Doing the opposite virtue, doing the virtue that comes most naturally to us, and just really be very intentional about that. And there will be a third one when we come to this last book here. So in chapter 6, oops. Yes, let us stop there if you don't mind, because we're going to pick up some of the chief vices and their daughters in the next episode. Till then, my friends, fides erat.